Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Mem Dalid. We left off on daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are like 12 lines before the end of the page, I would say. Amigva Me'emas Gavya. Last run line is Amar. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lizech Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom. We thank him for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi. First thing we're going to discuss is whether Shibud Nechasim of Ksuba takes effect at the time of Erisin or at the time of Nisun, because we already discussed yesterday that already at the time of Erisin there is an assumption that there is a Chiyuv Ksuba. It's just that it's only put into writing at the Shas Nisuin. So when does the Shibud Nechasim begin? At what point can you be Toref Milukuchos at the Shas Erisin or at the Shas Nisuin? Then the Gemara is going to talk about, that's actually going to lead us into a conversation. What if you have two Ksubas? Which one do you follow? Do you follow the later Ksuba, the earlier Ksuba? If they say different amounts of money, can you follow the Shibud of the earlier Ksuba? So, and that's going to lead us into a broader conversation of two shtaros on the same property that have different dates on the shtaros. So the Gemara is going to give two reasons why we would follow the second shtar and ignore the first shtar, and it's going to give three nafkaminas between those two reasons as to why we follow the second shtar and ignore the first shtar. And that conversation is going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah on Mem Dalid Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah is going to start talking about Motzi Shemra and Nara Marasa, specifically about a giyores, meaning do you have the whole parsha of Nara Marasa and Motzi Shemra when it comes to a giyores? And giyores could mean three things. It could mean a girl who's purely a giyores. It could mean a girl who was born after her mother had become Jewish but was conceived prior to her mother becoming Jewish, or it could just be a girl whose mother is a giyores, but she herself is not a giyores at all. So we're going to discuss the parsha of Motzi Shemra as it relates to a giyores, and also as it relates to a girl, the parsha of Nara Marasa, which is the flip side of the parsha of Motzi Shemra. That's the thing we always have to keep in mind. Nara Marasa, a Motzi Shemra, is a case where she was accused of being a Nara Marasa, and it turned out that it was a false accusation. Nara Marasa is where it was a true accusation, that she actually cheated on her husband when she was an Arusa. But what do you do to a girl like that if she doesn't have a Pesach Beis Aviyah? Because part of what we do to an Nara Marasa is that Besoklo Sal Pesach Beis Aviyah, they give her skila by the Pesach Beis Aviyah. So what if her father doesn't have a house, or what if she doesn't have a father? So the Mishnah is going to discuss that as well. Then the Gemara is going to talk about paying the knossos of Motzi Shemra and Avonis and Mufata for a girl who is a Yosoma. Once we're talking about a girl who doesn't have a father, so we're going to talk about paying Tashlume Knas in general, when typically the Torah says that the Knas goes La'aviyo. What do you do if she doesn't have a father? And the Gemara is also going to talk about the concept of Motzi Shemra as it relates to a Ketana. What if she was not a Nara, she was only a Ketana? Is she included at all in the Parsha of Motzi Shema? So let's begin again at about 12 lines from the end of the page. Last one line is Amar. So Migva Me'emas Gavya. So once the Gemara had already said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a difference in the Chiyuv Ksuba from the Shas Erisin, where you don't write a shtar, from the Chiyuv Ksuba Mishas Nisun, where you do write a shtar, and the father is only Zocha B'Ksubasa if it was Nichtav Birishu. So the Gemara says, okay, so when can you collect from the Chasum Mishubadim? At what point is there a Shibud Nechasim for the Ksuba? Is it Mishas Erisin, or is that only Mishas Nisun? Migva Me'emas Gavya, the collection of the Ksuba, Minchasim Shabbatim, when does that happen? Meaning, if the husband divorces her after the Nisuin, and he didn't have any Nechasim in his Rishus to pay the Ksuba, so can the woman go and collect from the Kuchos that purchased properties from the husband after the Erisin, but before the Nisuin? There was already a Shibud Ksuba at the time of the Erisin, but is there a Shibud Nechasim at the time of the Erisin? Or does that only begin when they actually put it in writing at the Shas Nisuin? So the Gemara brings a Machlo. Ravuna says, well, the Ikr Ksuba, the mana for an almana, the Masayim for a Basula, that you could collect from the Chasum Shvadim, even going back to the time of the Erisin. But the Tosefis Ksuba that he adds on into the Ksuba, the what we do typically for Ashkenazim, the Meiz Kukin Kesef Tsaruf, that we add in as a Tosefis, Sefes Ksuba. So that could only be collected from the Nechasim that the husband still owned at the Shas Nisuin, but not from Nechasim that he had sold in between the Erisin and the Nisuin. That's the Shita of Rav Huna. Rav Asi Amar Echad Zeh Ve'echad Zeh Min HaNisuin. There is no Shibud Min Nechasim from Erisin at all. Everything can only be collected Min HaNisuin. Even though the Man of Messiah, he became Chayiv in the Man of Messiah from the Erisin, but when he wrote the Shtar Ksuba, when they got married, the husband is being mochel on the original, she is being mochel to the husband on that original shibud that was there b'shas erusin on the ikra ksuba, because from the fact that they didn't write a shtar b'shas erusin, and it's only on the tosefes that they're writing a shtar, so that's showing that she's being for the benefit of earning of getting that tosefes, she's being mochel on the earlier shibud. That's the assumption, that at that point of nisuin she's mochel. She's mochelas on the earlier shibud. So again, Rav Huna's shita is that there is a shibud mishas erusin, but only on the ikr ksuba, not on the tosefes. And Rav Asi says no, the shibud was there, but it goes away as soon as they have an isuin. They write a ksuba, then the shibud goes away. So says the Gemara, going back to Rav Huna's shita, the first shita. Umiyam Rav Huna hachitas. Rav Huna really say that the chiyuv manam masayim could be collected even from the chasim shvadim mishas erusin vayitmar, but didn't the following shaila come up? Hotzia lov shtei ksubos. If let's say a couple got divorced and the woman had two ksubos that the husband wrote for her, achas shel masayim v'achas shel shalosh meos, and there was a discrepancy in the amount of money that after the husband originally wrote the ikr ksuba, he wanted to add an extra tosefes on the masayim that was in the ikr ksuba. So they didn't make like an addendum on the shtar. He wrote a whole new shtar for Shalosh Meos, and the two shtaros are dated at different times. The shtar of Shalosh Meos was dated at a later date than the shtar of Masayim. So at what point can she collect from the Chasim Shvadim? Is it from the date of the original shtar that only says Masayim, or only from the date of the later shtar that says Shalosh Meos? So Amrav Huna Bas Aligvos Masayim Govim Mizman Rishon Shalosh Meos Govim Mizman Sheni. If she wants, She has two options. She has two shtaros, two options. She could choose which one she wants to take out of Beis Din. If it's more important to her to be able to collect from the Chasim Shvadim from the earlier date, so good, take out the earlier shtar, but you're going to be capped at 200. That's all you're going to be able to collect. But if you want to collect all 300, then you're not going to get the Chasim Shvadim back from the Zman of the first shtar. You'll only be able to collect from the properties that he owned at the Zman of the second shtar. So she can't say, you know what, I'm going to collect the Masayim from the Chasim Shvadim from the Zman of the first shtar, and then the extra 100 that I got in the second shtar, I'm going to collect that from a later date. No, we assume that she was mochel in the shibud of the first star if she chooses to collect with the second star. But v'imisa, if Rav Huna is, if we're really correct about what Rav Huna is saying, that by every ksuba, manam asayim happens ready mishas erusin, and the tosefes kicks in mishas nisuin, and we don't assume that she's mochel on that first shibud that was already chal at the time of erusin. So in this case also, where she has two staros, why don't we say the same thing? That she's not being mochel on the shibud, she's not being mochel the shibud in the original shtar. Tigmi masayim isman rishon ameya isman sheni. Let her do the same thing. Let her collect masayim from the first ksuba and meya with the second ksuba. So says Gemara ulataymeich. Well, if according to what you're saying, it was mucha from Rav Huna that he holds that she's not mochel on the shibud in the first shtar, and he's adding a tosefes in the second shtar, so we could still ask, why does Rav Huna say to only why doesn't Rav Huna say tigvi chamish meos kulam, let her collect 500 zuz masayim izman rishon tasmeyam izman sheni, meaning if there's no assumed mechila of a previous shtar, so she has two shtaros, one that says she's owed 200 zuz, one that says she's owed 300 zuz, so she should collect 500 zuz. And no one seems to say that. The whole question is, when the shibud lechasim is chal? So, why is it that she doesn't collect 500 zuz? Kivin to lokasav la sivisi va'osifis lach tlos mea amasayim. Because he didn't write in the second shtar, I decided that I wanted to give you another 300 zuz on top of the 200 zuz that you already have in your original ksuba. He just wrote stam that it's 300 zuz. So we assume that hachi kamerla, what he was trying to tell her is, im izman rishon gavias, if you're going to collect from the earlier zman, gavim asayim, then you collect 200 zuz. Im izman sheni gavias, but if you're only going to collect from the properties that I owned at the second zman, then gavim tlasmeya, then you're allowed to collect 300 zuz. But it's not that I'm adding another 300 zuz on top of the 200 zuz. I'm writing a shtar that includes the original 200 zuz. I'm adding 100 zuz if you're willing to collect from a later date. So that's what the assumption is. So hachanami haini time at the lo gavya, and that from that very same reason, Rav Huna holds she does not collect the masayim from the earlier zman and the meya from the second zman. She collects the full 300 only from the second zman. If she wants to collect from the only masayim, she'll collect from the earlier zman. Midelo kasavla, because he didn't write in the second shtar osifis lach meya amasayim. I added 100 zuz on the previous 200 zuz that I already owed you, which would have implied that the woman is not being mochel the shibun of the original shtar after the second shtar was written, that it's only being that she's only just getting an extra 100 zuz. But it doesn't say that from the fact that it just says in the second shtar, here's a shtar 300 zuz. So achule achilte the shibuda kama. We assume that by writing the second shtar, the woman is being mochel the shibud in the first shtar, and therefore she wants 300 zuz. With the second shtar, she can she can't collect the masayim from the earlier zman. When Rav Huna said manu masayim in the erusin tosefes mina nisuin, and he didn't say that the woman is mochel on the shibud ksuba from the zman erusin by writing a ksuba at the zman nisuin, that's because it says in the ksuba vosafti lach meazuz amasha tiknu chachamim. That's the nusach of a ksuba that everybody has. So from that lashon that I'm being mosif beyond the takanas chachamim, that shows that there is no mechila of the earlier shtar. So Rav Huna's whole svara is that if you're just writing a brand new shtar that makes no reference to the earlier shtar, then it's an assumed mechila of the earlier shtar. But when a woman has erisin and there's automatically takanas chachamim of masayim zuz, and then b'shas nisuin he writes a ksuba with a tosefes also, so she's not being mochel because the standard language of a ksuba is that I know there's a takanas chachamim and I'm being mosif onto that takanas chachamim. So that shows that there's no mechila, that you're still sticking with the takanas chachamim that was operative from the zman erusin. And that's why Rav Huna had said mana masayim is mina erusin and tosefes is mina nisuin. So that is the shita of Rav Huna. Now Amar Mar, Rav Huna had said that if you have two ksubas, one of them that has masayim and one of them that has shalosh Shmeos, meaning again, there were two cases that we're dealing with over here. The core case, the original case we were dealing with, the original machlokas is just a regular girl gets married, and it's understood that at erusin there's a shibud of 200 zuz, and then at nisuin they write a ksuba with a tosefes. So we had that machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Asi about when the shibud nechasim begins, where Rav Huna said on the masayim mina erusin and the tosefes mina nisuin, and Rav Asi said no, everything mina nisuin. But along the way we brought in a second case where a woman has two written ksubas, one that says 200 zuz, one that says 300 zuz. Some are mar, so we had said that there are two ksubas, one of masayim and one of shalosh meos, ibaya bahai gavya, that she has the right to collect with either one of them, meaning she can't use both, she's not allowed to collect 500, but she can collect either 200 zuz from the time of the first star, or 300 zuz from the time of the second star. So lema pligad Rav Nachman, maybe that is against Rav Nachman. Tamar Rav Nachman, a third case, nothing to do with ksuba. Let's say you just have two shtaros that have different dates on them, but it's all about the same field, meaning it identifies a field that was being sold, that Reuben was selling to Shimon, and one of them says that it was sold on Echad B'Nisan, and the other one says that it was sold on Echad B'Sivan. So which date can you go and collect from the Chasam Shabbatim? So Bitel Sheni Yasarishon. The halacha is that the second shtar is mevatel the first shtar, and if you you can only be torif from lekuchos from the zman in the second shtar. So Rav Huna holds that the woman could collect with either one of her ksubos must be going against Rav Nachman, because why would a ksuba be any different than any other shtar? When it comes to ksuba, Rav Huna said she has two ksubas, one that says an earlier date of 200 zuz and a later date, another one that has a later date of 300 zuz. She could take out whichever one she wants in Beis Din. But Rav Nachman says when you have shtei shtaros that have two different dates on it, you only follow the second one. So it says, Marno, lav miyit marala. Didn't we explain, Rav Nachman, that Amar Rav Papa, mother of Nachman, the Yosef Padikla l'tosefes kasvei, that if the second shtar includes something that wasn't in the first shtar, an extra dekel is included, an extra tree is included in the sale, so then both shtaros are kosher, and he could collect from the zman in the first shtar, because there's no raya from the fact that the second shtar exists, that they're trying to be mevatel the first shtar. They only wrote the second shtar to include more. So Achanami over here also, when there are two ksubas, one that has 200 zuz and the other that has 300 zuz, ha'osef lamidi. That's an example where something was added in the second one. And when something is added in the second one, there is no assumption that the first one becomes batel. So this Rav Huna is not at all against Rav Nachman. So now once we mentioned this idea of Rav Nachman, though, that if you have shnei shtaros hayotzin, you have two shtaros on the same property, that the second one is mevatel the first one, so let's discuss that in a little more detail. Gufa, Amar Rav Nachman, shtei shtaros hayotzin b'zeh achar zeh. You have two shtaros on the same piece of property, the same mocher, the same lokeach, but they just have different dates. So bitel sheni yasarishon. The second shtar is mevatel the first shtar, and you can only collect from the kuchos, from the time of the second shtar. Amar Rav Papa, mother of Nachman, diyosu badikla l'tosefes kasvei. And as we already saw, Rav Papa just comments that's only if the second shtar is not inclusive of anything else that was not included in the first shtar. But if you're adding something else in the second shtar, then the first shtar is not going to become batel. So the Gemara discusses what exactly is the situation over here. Pshita rishon b'mecher v'sheni b'matana. It's obvious that if the first shtar was written as a shtar mecher and the second shtar was written as a shtar matana, then of course the first shtar is not going to be batel, even if you don't add something new in the second shtar, because obviously if the second shtar was a shtar matana, the kavana must have been li yapos kocho de kasavle, that you wrote an extra shtar just to enhance the person's position, the position of the person who's receiving the field. Mishum dina de bar metzra, because there is a downside of buying a field, and that is that you're subject to dina de bar metzra. Meaning, if I'm going to buy a field, and then the neighbor of that field said, "Hey, I was never offered an opportunity to buy that field," there's a din of dina de bar metzra, v'asisa yashavatov. They have to offer me, so he's going to come, and he's going to come with the taina that he should have been the one that he has the right of first refusal on the field. But by a matana, we don't say dina de bar metzra. I mean, if I choose to give a matana, so no one else can come and say, why don't you give me a matana? Because I don't like you, or because I don't know, you didn't get married, or because whatever reason I'm giving a matana. You know, I give a matana because I want to give a matana. There is no such din of dina de bar metzra when it comes to matana. There's only such a din of dina de bar metzra when it's business. So it's a mecher, it's a sale. So you're getting the same money from this guy that you get from that guy. Why would you not give the neighbor the opportunity to expand his property where it would make his life so much easier? He's not going to have two fields on two different sides of a community where he's going to need two plows and two everything. He could just have one field together where he'll be able to have one set of equipment to deal with the field. So that's a din of din de bar metzra. So certainly when you write the second shtar as a shtar matana, you're just trying to save the buyer from din de bar metzra. V'kolshken rishon b'matan v'sheni b'mecher. And certainly if the first one was written as a shtar matana and the second one was written as a shtar mecher, you're also just trying to enhance his position. Tamrin mishum din de bal chovu dukasav kein. That there is a downside of receiving a field as a matana, and that is that if Bali Chovos come to collect that field, if the guy who gave you that field had Chovos and the people that he owed money to come to collect it, you're not able to go and collect the money, the value of that field from the Kuchos that bought properties from the Mocher after the Zman of the Ksivas Ashtar, unless the Achrayus is written straight out in the Shtar Matana. But a Shtar of Mechira, the fact that you could be Torah from Ilkuchos, the Achrayus that's accepted by the mocher is automatic when it comes to a shtar mecher. So maybe in the initial shtar matana, you're nervous about your position in this field because you only got it as a matana. If it ever gets gets taken away from you, you're going to have no recourse. You're not going to be able to take other properties away from anybody else. So he writes, you ishtar mecher. So now you have a little more security, because if it ever gets taken away from you, you can go and collect from the chasam mishpatim. Question is over here the Gemara is saying that's a davar pashut, right? That if there are two shtarls and they're different in nature, one is a shtar mecher, one is a shtar matana, whichever order you do it in, clearly he's just trying to enhance the position of the lokeach, and the first shtar does not become batal. The question that's difficult to understand over here, and the Prisha raises this question, in Shulchan Aruch this is quoted, right? The Shulchan Aruch paskens the Chosh Mishpas in Reish Mem that if you have shnei shtar seyotzim al sada achas with the same kona, with the same buyer, but different dates, so if one of them was a mecher and the other one was a matana, so your kona already from the earlier zman, because he only wrote a shtar matana liyafos kocha mishum dina debar metzra, right? It's explicit in Shulchan Aruch like that, as you would expect. Asks the Prisha, why did Chazal give you an etza to avoid dina debar metzra? Meaning there's a reason for dina debar metzra. Dina debar metzra means that asisa yashavatov, you should do the nice thing to the neighbor and let the neighbor have that opportunity. So Chazal are giving us an etza that you could avoid being a good person. That even though really you're selling the field, but if you just add a shtar matana also, so then the neighbor doesn't have to know that it was sold. So it's a shtar matana. Because you have a shtar matana, you'll be able to say, no, there's no din bar mitzvah over here, it's a matana. But you did pay for the field. You did buy the field. So you mean Chazal giving you an etzah to avoid din bar mitzvah? So the preacher writes, yeah, because technically you could always get around din bar mitzvah. Because technically you could always say, Reuven could say to Shimon, I'm giving you this field as matana. And Shimon could say to Reuven, I'm giving you a matana of $500,000, meaning you could always, since it could always be, they could write up the documents in such a way where everything is a matana, so it could always be avoided. So it doesn't seem right, but it's built into the system that it could always be avoided, and therefore over here as well, the Nesivus writes differently. The Nesivus says, no, you're not allowed to do that. It must be that it only works if you're yodea ba'atzmo that the shtar matana, meaning if you know that the shtar matana was only written as a harama against the bar meitzar, so for sure asur to do that. Even if you only have that shtar matana, even if there is no shtar mecher, but if it was really a sale and you paid for it and you're just writing the shtar in the lashon of the shtar matana to avoid din the bar meitzar, that's for sure asur. And if you know that the shtar mecher was only written as a way of being torif milukuchos, that's also asur. So it must be that you the guy is yodea ba'atzmo that the shtar matana is emes, and that's the real shtar. It's just that a meitzar, a bal meitzar is coming, and the bezin is going to assume that the shtar mecher was really the ikker. So that's why he writes you shtar matana, because for whatever reason, when he gave the matana, you decided to write it in the lashon mecher. I don't know what they were thinking, but now they realize, wait a second, that's going to cost that's going to cost him, and unnecessarily, because it was really a matana. So now you can rectify the wrong by writing a shtar matana. But if there was no wrong, if it was really a mecher, then of course you're not allowed to write a shtar matana just to avoid din of the bar mitzvah. So it seems to be a fundamental machlokes between the Prisha and the Nesivus, whether a harama is mutter to get around din of the bar mitzvah or to be able to collect from the chasam mishpatim. But all of that, the Gemara says, that's pashut, that if you have two shtarls, one of them mecher, one of them matana, so that's pashut, that the first shtar does not become batel. Ela ish shneihem b'mecher, shneihem b'matana, but if you have two shtaros that are both shtari mecher, or two shtaros that are both shtari matana, the only difference between the two shtaros is the date on the shtar. The property is exactly the same property. The buyer is exactly the same buyer. The seller is exactly the same buyer. Only the date is different. Then we ignore the first shtar. My time, why does Rav Nachman hold that the second shtar is mevatel the first shtar? Two possibilities, three nafkaminas between the possibilities. Possibility number one, Rav from Amar. Because the Bala Shtar takes out the second Shtar, which has a later date, we can assume that he's Moda to the guy who's giving the Shtar that the first Shtar was Mezuyev. And therefore, he asks for a second Shtar in order to be able able to collect from the Chasam Shabbatim from the time it's written in the second shtar. Meaning the fact that they write a second shtar is akin to a hoda'ah that the first shtar was a forgery, that the first shtar was mezuyif, and once you're being mowed that the first shtar is mezuyif, you've got to you throw it out. The first shtar is worthless. Rav Acha Amar Emer Achule Achle Lishibude. When he's being motzi the later shtar, that's a raya that the Bala shtar was being mochel on the shibud in the earlier shtar. It wasn't mezuyif, it was a valid shtar, but I agreed to write a second shtar because I'm being mochel on the earlier shibud. So now it can only collect from the chasam shabadim from the later date. L'chora, it's difficult to understand why he'd be mochel on that shibud, meaning without any reason to do so. Meaning if I bought a property on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, why would I agree to have a second shtar written on Rosh Chodesh Elul, you know, 6 months later or whatever, where I'm going to lose out on the ability to collect from the Chasam Shabbatim throughout that time in between. It's very difficult to understand why he would be willing to be Mochel. So the Rush explains that maybe the Bala Shtar heard that there was a Moda'a given in front of Edom before the writing of the first Shtar. Meaning there's something that makes him nervous about using the first Shtar. That he heard a rumor that that the Mocher gave a Moda'a in front of Edom that I'm only writing the Shtar because I'm being forced to, and there's an onus over here. And he's just nervous that Edom are going to come to Bezin and destroy the first shtar and ruin it. So in order to avoid that, he has a second shtar written, even though it's from a later date. That's, you have to come up with something. He has to be receiving something in order to be mochel the shibud of the first shtar. But be that as it may, those are the two possibilities. Why is it that Rav Nachman assumes the second shtar is mevatel the first shtar, either because it's an admission that the first shtar is mezuyav, or it's just a mechila of the original shibud, and now he's willing to accept a later shibud. So my benayhu, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? So three nafkaminas. Ike benayhu arui sadei l'shlumi perei ulitaska. One nafkamina is: are the edim that are signed on the first star kasher edim, or do we assume that they must be pasul edim? So if it's hoda'a that the first star is mezuyav, so then the edim are pasul edim on the first star. But if we assume that the first star is not mezuyif, he's just looking for a shibud for a later shibud, then there's nothing wrong with the first edim. Another nafkamina is: does the lokeach have to pay for the peros that he ate in that field between the zman of the first star and the zman of the second star? If you assume that the first star was mezuyif, he didn't own the property yet, so he's going to have to pay for the peros that he ate. But if you hold that the first star was not mezuyif, it's just that he's being mochel the shibud, so he was the owner of the property. The lokeach already was the owner of the property. He's not going to have to pay also separately for the peros that he ate from that field. And the third nafkamina is: who has to pay the taxes that you pay the king over, you know, the real estate taxes on that property for that zman in between the first and the second shtar? If you know, the first shtar is mezuyav, so then the original owner should have to pay the taxes because he was still the owner of the property during that time. But if you hold that it wasn't mezuyav and the second shtar is that the first shtar was really a valid shtar, it's just that the second shtar is coming because he's going to be mochel the shibud in the first shtar, so then the buyer should have to pay those property taxes in between. The Rishonim struggle a little bit with how could we be mechayev the mocher to pay the taxes because the lokeach is being moda that the first star is mezuyav. Meaning I could be moda something that's going to cost me something. I can't be moda something that's going to cost you something. You're saying the lokeach is being moda that it's mezuyav, and therefore the mocher has to pay the property taxes on those 6 months of owning the property. So the Ra'ah writes that the malchus is mechayev to pay a tax when someone is ochel peros bekarka, for whoever was being ochel the peros. And the second nafkamina affects the third nafkamina, because the second nafkamina was that when I'm moda that it was mezuyav, I'm also moda that I had no rights to those peros for the last 6 months. That you had the rights to the peros. Well, if you had the rights to the peros, you also have to pay the taxes. Meaning, you got to be consistent with those two things. So those are three nafkaminas. Question is if those are the only three nafkaminas. The Ramban has a longer list of nafkaminas that the Gemara didn't bring. Okay, but three is enough. The Gemara didn't need to bring more nafkaminas. So my avila d'ksubis. So says Gemara, but wait, how did this whole conversation start? We weren't talking about shtaros over here. We're learning the sechus ksubis. The whole shaila was, when does a shibud begin on a ksuba? So we started, if you just to map out the sugya, we started with when does the shibud begin on a ksuba? The shas erusin or shas nisuin? That brought us into a case of what if you have two ksubas, one that says Masayim and one that says Shalosh Meos. That brought us into a case of, what if you have two shtaros about anything else? Two shtaros in the same field. But let's go back to the beginning. When you have just one ksuba, but Mishas Erisin, there was a Tanai Beis Din that the ksuba is in effect. Mishas Nisuin, it's put in writing. So when is there a shibud? So Tashma, Adam Rabbi Dom Shalom, Mishum Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, Manam Asayim Mina Erisin. The Manam Asayim, the shibud is already there from the Shas Erisin. The Tosefes Mina Nisuin, the Tosefes ksuba that the husband adds, that comes only from the Shas Nisun. The Chamor Mechaz Vechazah Mina Nisun. The Cham say both the Yikru Ksuba of Manam Asayim and the Tosefes Ksuba that the husband decides to add, she's only able to collect from the Lukuchos Mina Nisun, but not Min HaErisin. Now we paskin like the second shita that it can only be collected min anisuin, like the shita of the chachamim, like Rav Asi, who disagreed with Rav Huna earlier. So it turns out that what started off when we started the sugya, we asked when does the shibud begin, and we had a machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Asi, and now we're saying that tashma that it's a machlokas tanaim, right? That it's a machlokas pitzin Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, and the chachamim, which is a little bit funny, because normally we'd say lema kitanai. So the Ritva raises the question. We started by saying it's machlok samurayim. Now at the end of the ksuba we bring tanaim that say exactly the same two shitos that the amurayim say. So he says the Gemara didn't know this brisa until now. So it's only after Rav Yehuda Amram Shmuel said it that we're aware of this brisa. So therefore they were unaware. So you're not going to say lema kitanai. Lema kitanai means why are these amurayim pretending that they invented something when there was already machlok tanaim? No one knew this machlokas tanaim. We just discovered it. They just discovered that there was this ancient machlokas tanaim. Okay, but either way, the halacha is that both of them are only collected min ha nisuin. Okay, so now new Mishnah, new discussion. So now we're going to move on to the topic of Naro Murasa / Motzi Shema. Those are two sides of the same coin. Motzi Shema means that the husband has accused his wife of being a Naro Murasa. Naro Murasa is if she cheated on him while she was Be'erisin and she is a Nara. So the halacha is if a girl is a Naro Murasa, if she's Mizana Tachas Baila, she's Chayef Skila Bishara Ir. She gets skila at the gate of the city. That's what the pasuk says. Both the man and the woman, the man that she cheated with, and the girl. The skila of a naru bishari ir is only if Adim came while she was still in Arusa. But if she got married and the husband brought Edim that she was Mizana while she was in Arusa, then the skila doesn't happen El Shari Ir. That happens El Pesach Beis Aviyah. Why? Because that's what the Chumash says. Chumash says, Im Emes Hayah Adav Razeh, if it came as a result of Motzi Shema, that the husband had Nisuman with her, he slept with her, and he says, wait a second, she cheated on me, B'Shas Erisin, and then he's able to bring Edim that verify that story that she cheated B'Shas Erisin. So Votzi Asanar El Pesach Beis Aviyah, Skalua Anche Ira Ba'avanim, Vamesa, that she gets stoned at Pesach Beis Aviyah. So that din of skila is only when it comes to a nara arusa, only if she has erusin. Once a girl has nisuin, once a girl is fully married, then there's no din of skila anymore. Then the halach is that a married woman who cheats on her husband is chayev chenek. So Motzi Shemra is a case where he made that accusation after they got married, that Mishas Erisin, that she had cheated on him, and it turns out that his Edim or Edim Zomman or something like that. So it turns out that then he's going to have to pay a knas and he's going to get malchus for being Motzi Shema. Now in the Parsha Motzi Shema, the word B'Yisrael appears several times. So the word B'Yisrael, the Gemara is going to say, tells us that the Parsha Motzi Shema doesn't apply to a Giores. So now that's what the Mishnah discusses. How do we define Giores? So there are three categories. There are girls that are purely a Giores. There are those whose mother was a Giores, but they themselves never had to go through a Giores because by the time they were conceived, the mother was already Jewish. And then there was in between. They were conceived before the mother was Jewish, but they were born after the mother was Jewish. So says the Mishnah, Yerush and Skyra Bita Ima. Let's say a woman converts and her daughter converts with her when she's a katana, meaning the daughter is a real Giores, Vizinsa. And then the daughter, when she becomes a Naru Murasa, is Mizana. So Arezu B'chenek, she's Chayiv Chenek. She doesn't have the din of a normal Naru Murasa with a Zachiv Skila. She would just have the regular halach of Chenek, like any other Eshes Ish that's Mizana. Tana has a chiyuv of chenek. Now it's interesting by saying a giyores that the girl herself is a giyores when she was a katana. There is a machlokas rishonim whether giyur of a katan works midarais or midrabanan. Tosas and Dafir Aleph early in the Masechta holds that the giyur only works midrabanan, whereas Tosas and Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Samaches holds that the giyur works midaraisa. But everyone agrees that if at the age of 12 she's mekabel and she says okay I'm mekabel, everyone agrees then that the giyur would work at that point midaraisa. So you have to say that that's the case. If you hold like Tosas and Ksubas Dafir Aleph that the giyur only works midrabanan, in order to say that she's really a giyores, you'd have to say that, and she's going to be chayiv chenek, you'd have to say that at the age of 12 she accepted it, then she cheated on her husband, and that's why she's chayiv chenek. She doesn't have a Pesach Beis Ha'av, velo me'asela. She doesn't, meaning she doesn't get killed by the Pesach Beis Ha'av, nor is there me'asela that goes to her father if it turns out that it was a false accusation, because she's a giyores. And the whole parsha, Matzi Shemra, is only said about a Bas Yisrael, not about a giyores. If, however, she was conceived shalabekdusha and she was born bekdusha, harezu beskila, then she gets skila. Ve'ainla lo pesach pesahav v'lo meyasel, but she doesn't have a father, so she's still excluded from pesach pesahav and meyasela. Haisa harasa v'leidas bekdusha harezu beskila l'chol tevara. But if she was born bekdusha and she was conceived bekdusha, then she has a regular din of a bas yisrael. Yesh la ave in la pesach pesahav. If she has a father, but the father doesn't have a home, meaning he doesn't have his own home, and the Meiri says, or he rents a home, let's say. It doesn't mean that he's homeless, but he rents a home, and in the lease agreement it says right there, no stoning people at the doorway of the home, right? So the owner of the home could say, I don't want that going on in my house. So then he doesn't have a Pesach Beis Av. Yesh a Pesach Beis Av Ein La'av, where there is a Pesach Beis Av, but she doesn't have a father, she's a Yisoma. Harezu B'Skila, she would get Skila. L'nam Pesach Beis Av El Mitzvah, because the whole din of Pesach Beis Av is only a din L'chadchila. It's not Ma'ak. So, frankly, Maraminani Mili, how do I know that a Nara Giyores, who's Harasa Shlobekdusha, Leidasa Bekdusha, and is Mizana Beiris, and she's Chayiv Skila, the whole parsha of Motzi Shem is only about a Bas Yisrael? So, I'm Reish Lakishamar Krak, because the Pasuk says, Umesa. So, the Rabbis, Harasa Shlobekdusha, Leidasa Bekdusha, the extra word Umesa teaches me that even if she was conceived before her mother was Jewish, she's still included in the parsha of Naram Rasa. So let's include her in the entire parsha of Motzi Shemra as well. The guy should get Malkus and he should have to pay the Knas and everything. Now, Amakra Umesa, the Misa in the Shabbos of Lola Knas. She's included in the parsha only insofar as her Misa, if she's guilty. But if she's innocent, then the dinim of Knas do not apply to the husband. Maybe Umesa is all inclusive. Maybe it comes to tell me, I'm sorry, maybe it's very limited. Maybe it's only coming to include a girl who was harasa v'leidas b'kedusha, a girl who's born and conceived Jewish. Says, well, no, hey Yisrael Smali, say, you don't need a reboy for that. That's just what we call a Jewish girl. Her mother's a giyores. What's that got to do with her? That's just a regular Jewish girl. But the ema l'rabos harasa v'leidas b'kedusha. Okay, but maybe Umesa is all inclusive. Maybe it even includes a girl who was a giyores herself, and she should also get skila. Imkain be Yisrael, maya hanile. But then why would the Torah keep saying be Yisrael? It must be excluding somebody. So by saying be Yisrael, it's excluding somebody who's a giyores, who's a full giyores. So I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Motzi Shemra al Yisoma Pater. If someone is Motzi Shemra against the Yisoma, he's Pater from paying the Mea Kesef. Shenemar, Benosla Vianara, Prat Lazu, Shein Laav, because the Pasuk says that you give the money to Avianara, and the Yisoma doesn't have an Av, and therefore she's not included in the Parsha of Motzi Shemra. You don't pay to the Nara herself. Mas Rabbi Yosi Barav and Vitem Rabbi Yosi Bar Zvida. We have a brisa that says Vi Ma'in Yima'in Aviha. Now, in the parsha of Mefata, it says that when you give the Kesef Yishkol Kamara Besulis, when you pay the Knas of a Mefata, L'Rabbos Yisoma L'Knas to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. That a Yisoma receives the Knas that you give the Knas to the Yisoma. If she doesn't have a father, you give it to her. So but even though by Onus it says it also says that you pay the father, but if there isn't a father, it goes to the Yisoma. So why don't we say the same thing by Motzi Shemra? I know that the Torah says you're supposed to pay it to the father, but just like by Onus and Mefata, where you're also supposed to pay it to the father, if there's no father, you give it to the girl. So why by Motzi Shemra don't we say the same thing? If there's no father, father, you give it to the girl. So humosav lavu mefarikla. He asked the question, he answered the question as well. That the case that you give it to the girl is only if the man was ma'anis or mefat to the girl, and then she became a yisoma, because he was already chayiv in the knas beforehand. But if she was a yisoma all along, then you don't give it to the girl, because there's no av, so you don't give it at all. Rava amar chayiv. Rava says that if you're mostly shemar and yisoma, you are chayiv. Mimai, where does he learn that from? Mitetaniyami besulas yisol v'lo besulas gerim. From the fact that the brisa says that if your wife is a giores and you're motzi shemra, you don't get malchus and mea kesef. So yeah, b'shlamakia gavna b'yisrael mechayiv. If you're going to say that, if you were to have a parallel case of a Jewish woman who also does not have a father, you'd be chayiv haynu disrukalim utegerim. So then it makes sense that you need a pasuk to tell me that when it comes to a ger, you're not going to be chayiv. Eliyamret b'yisrael kia gavna pater. But if you hold that even a Jewish girl who doesn't have a father doesn't get the knas anyway, he doesn't have all the dinim motzi shemra don't apply anyway. Well, hashem yisrael pater b'gerim mibayi. So then of course the same is going to be true of a gioris. A gioris doesn't have a father. Gershon Skaris could cut the shnola dummy. So of course it's not going to be. You're not going to have a din of motzi shemra. So the very fact that mishnah has to be mechadesh that a gioris doesn't get the knas of a motzi shemra, that's a raya that a regular Jewish girl in such a case who doesn't have a father would get the knas of a motzi shemra, and that's why Rava holds kaif. Okay, we'll stop there. But tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Reish Lakish. Today, good Shabbos. Yeah.